Hey, what's up, guys? It's me, Hannah Lynn Miller. I am your host for the You Are Covered podcast. This week, I decided to be in studio and not on the road. I had a little bit of time in between writing my last ever research paper that's not my thesis and church. So I decided to hop on here and kind of say what I was thinking of saying today. We are going in this series of peace, and we've been talking about how to have more peace in our life. Something that you might not know about me, I really, really love cold weather. And I know it's February, we're in the Midwest, at least I am, and a lot of you listeners are. Maybe you don't live in the Midwest, you're like, how can you guys handle the cold? Listen, born and raised outside of Chicago, I like the cold. I will admit it. And I like the coziness of it, all the things, right? So what's so wild is that I have been to Alaska, and besides getting pretty sick in Alaska for, I think, honestly, I just got really sick because of the just how cold it was. It was negative 30 when we got there in Fairbanks, Alaska. We spent 2 weeks there. I was playing the harp for the band at my college and the orchestra or whatever it was. And I really enjoyed it. Like, I love Alaska. And so sometimes during the winter, especially, I will watch vloggers who live in like either Sweden or Norway or different places. And I think I have a few vloggers that I watch in Alaska too. And I just really like how they make it relaxing and cozy, and they genuinely love their lives. It is so wild. And they don't even see the sun for like so long. And you're like, Hannah, where is this going? I promise this has a direction. So I was just this morning watching one of my vloggers. Let's see, I have her pulled up here. Cecilia Blumda. I think that's how you say it. Svalbard. She lives in Svalbard. And I don't even know where that is. Sweden. That's Sweden. Yeah. So I think, no, she's from Sweden. She moved to Svalbard. Blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I just butchered that. You can just genuinely tell that she like loves what she does and where she lives. And she was saying that there's a phrase in Norway that is said often. It's there's no bad weather. And she's like literally in the middle of like hurricane winds, snowstorm. She's like, there's no bad weather, just bad clothes. And I was like, that is so interesting. And I've experienced that. Like, I like to go ice fishing with my husband, John Miller. So we like to go ice fishing. I genuinely enjoy it. But if I don't have the right socks and the right shoes, I don't enjoy it. It's not very fun for me. And so I completely get that whole concept. So with the concept of clothes, what does that have to do with peace? I really truly believe that you can have peace through the storms of life. And it is kind of like the right jacket. And one of those aspects, you know, with winters here, my mom always said, like, make sure you have a down coat, or, you know, make sure you have something that is meant for really, really cold temperatures. Like, my mom always said that growing up. And when I started buying my own jacket, she was like, is it down? And so making sure that it is set and ready for, you know, for cold temperatures is so important. And so I really think that when you are wanting peace in your life, one of those things that you need to put on, that you need in your coat of peace, is the down of praise. And I think that's something that I've been learning through this process with you, studying on peace. And I'm like, okay, peace is wonderful, but also how do we get it? And, you know, this has been one of the hardest, I keep saying that, but it's just been really hard. I don't know how to explain to you how hard this master's degree has been, but I'm taking classes. I am in an internship that I go to almost every day. And then in between there, I'm studying for the NCE and then writing my thesis. So it's been really difficult. And I have realized that I've come to the end of my strength. I genuinely think this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And this, it's coming to an end. Like, everything needs to be done by this point. And it feels really overwhelming. Like, I went through with my supervisor, oh, we've got 2 months left. And I'm like, 2 months to get all this done? What, are you nuts? Am I nuts? This is possible? I don't know. So that's where I'm at in life. And, you know, last week when I was doing the episode in my car, I was like, Lord, I'm really having a rough week. Just praising the Lord through it has been really what has kept us safe and warm and cozy, if we're doing the jacket metaphor. So if you are there with me and you're like, how am I going to weather these storms, these winter storms that are thrown my way? I want you to think of praising the Lord as the things that keep you warm inside your coat, the material of your coat, okay? The coat is peace. It comes from the Lord. But what makes it peaceful, what makes your life going to reflect peace, is the amount of praise that you have in that coat. If that's a good illustration for you, take it and run with it. It has been helping me, so I hope that it helps you. So for our fashion news or fashion segment of today's podcast, this week's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about where some of our fashion styles come from. And I think it's important to note that a big way that women in the early centuries, and when I say that, I'm talking more like 1700s, a big prominent role that they played was using fashion to enhance certain industries. Like, you see that with Queen Victoria. She was the first monarch to use lace in her wedding dress. Her wedding dress was all lace. It's actually the first time that white was used for wedding dresses. And a lot of times you think that it's from purity and everything, and that's why there's white dresses. It's actually because it was a lot more expensive, and typically you couldn't wear that dress again. And in that time, you would wear your wedding dress over and over again. But this was a special occasion. So when you wore white, you typically didn't wear that dress again. And Queen Victoria was the first person to do that. And she also used a lot of lace in her veil and her dress, which actually helped the lace industry. And so she wanted to make sure that people were getting paid fairly and that the industry didn't die. And so by making lace popular, she helped that industry out. And the same thing happened with the amazing white t-shirt that we love now. It actually happened to be a thing. Marie Antoinette was actually the first person to make this popular. It was kind of a scandal at the time, but if you see pictures of her, it's cotton. So she actually helped the cotton industry out by wearing a cotton robe in 1783, okay? And I find this so fascinating that this is what happened. And it actually has a dark past. This is from Harper's Bazaar. And there's an article, and it says the portrait painted by Madame Lebrun depicted the royal in a loose, billowing white blouse dress with minimal jewelry, a far more toned down and relaxed ensemble than were usually seen in portraits of her day. The queen's decision to pose in what was essentially her underwear caused uproar, as did the fact that she was wearing cotton, a relatively inexpensive material compared with the finest silks, thought to be more fitting for a royal. Many historians know the enormous impact this portrait of Marie Antoinette had on the textile industry, encouraging the cotton business and therefore the institution of slavery to grow during and after her lifetime. These ramifications might sound extreme, but the royal's significant presence on the world stage gave her huge influence. Her choice to wear a white cotton blouse a few centuries ago certainly contributed to the white shirt that's being dominated in our wardrobes today. But it's also clear now that this seemingly frivolous fashion moment led to catastrophic consequences. This moment is what made the cotton industry so much more needed. And the way that cotton was made was through slavery. And so, you know, I think that this is a really important thing to note, that our fashion choices really do matter. And we, if you look at history, this is totally what happened with Marie Antoinette. Now, did she know that this was going to happen? Did she feel convicted? No, probably not. But she was making a moment. And it did influence our fashion choices in the future. But it unfortunately did also influence how people were being treated. And we can also see that with the way that we make our fashion choices today. Marie Antoinette and her fellow fashion trendsetters made cotton desirable. Technology and slave labor made it affordable, and it was the perfect storm. The affordability increased the desirability, resulting in an even higher demand, which in turn increased the mass production so that the price would drop even further. That is wild. And you see that, I mean, you can see that in Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn. A lot of her memorable outfits were cotton. And you can see that down in history, even with Princess Diana and her cotton blouses. It's a reminder that our fashion choices really do matter, and that it affects how people are treated in history. So I hope that you learned something from this fashion moment. Okay, so hopefully by now you've taken some kind of attachment style quiz, or maybe you've done your own research to see what kind of attachment style you have. Are you anxious? Do you have an anxious attachment style? Do you have an avoidant attachment style? Do you have a fearful attachment style? Some people call this confused, chaotic attachment style, something like that. There's a couple different names out there. And then, do you have a secure attachment style, or what does a secure attachment style look like for you? So these are the things that will really help you understand how you communicate to your significant other. Specifically, that's what we've been talking about, but also it's going to help you with communicating with others. So today we're going to talk about avoidance. And when you avoid communication in a relationship, there's something that you're getting out of it, okay? There might be some kind of security. There might be that you're avoiding conflict. Maybe you're avoiding anger. What are you doing to avoid? And then also, what are you getting out of it? In this, I have this workbook, and you can buy the attachment theory workbook. You know that I love giving homework to you so that you can work on yourself. And these are just things that I found to be really helpful. But in the description, I do give you the option to purchase this attachment theory book workbook. And it's really, really helpful, and I really think that it's simple and straightforward. But you can also get this attachment theory worksheet at this. I'm also going to put this in the link, actually. And you can, I think this worksheet is free, where the book you can purchase, and there's more in it. So anyways, the pros and cons of avoidance. Okay, I'm just going to read this to you. Now you're going to work with the top three triggers for withdrawal or avoidance you identified in another previous exercise. Write one trigger at the top of each of the following three tables. Then make a check mark by each reaction you have in response. Finally, you're going to explore the ways that these behaviors help and hurt your relationships. So what I'm going to have you do is you're actually going to write down three top things that cause you to withdraw from your significant other, okay? That's the exercise that they were talking about. So you're going to write down three of these top things that make you want to just climb into a shell, okay? You just want to go and pull the covers over your head for days, okay? Those are the things you're going to write down. Okay, three of those, okay? So you got those three. And now what you're going to do is you're going to write down for each one of those three things, you're going to write down, when this happens, I withdraw. Like, what do you do? Withdraw, ignore, distract. So you can be a workaholic and be an avoidant, okay? You could think that this is that you're actually anxious and that's why you're a workaholic, but you might actually be avoidant, okay? Distract, stay busy, numb out, or leave, dismiss myself or others, deny my experience or others, justify and rationalize, explain something irrelevant. That's an interesting one. Appease without follow through. So you say, oh, yeah, whatever. Totally, I'll do that. And then you end up not doing it because you want to avoid, instead of actually saying, I don't want to do that, because you know that there's going to be a conflict. So now you're going to write down these three statements, okay? You're going to write down, what do I gain by doing these things? What am I getting from this? Okay, what do I miss out on by doing these things? And what is a more constructive response to this trigger? I think this is just helpful for any time that you feel like you're being super avoidant in relationships. Here's the thing, guys. You know when you're being avoidant, okay? You know, because you're like, I don't want to deal with this. I have been there. And so understanding what is the reason you're doing it, which is the gain. Here's the things. As humans, we do things because we get something out of it. We do. Okay? But then we also can miss out on things by avoiding them. So what do you miss out on? Like for me, I miss out on having a relaxing, nice time with my husband. You know, maybe I was avoiding him all day or something like that. And then instead of actually confronting him or talking to him about what's bothering me, then I am stewing about it for a whole night. Actually, I can't do that very long, but if that's what you do, then you're going to miss out on memories, maybe whatever it is for you. And then try to think of what is a more constructive response to this trigger. Here's the thing. You might be thinking, Hannah, if I knew that, I would do it. But you'd be surprised if you actually had a few minutes to sit down and think, what is a better way to respond? You'd come up with so much. Listen, I just know from experience that when someone asks me a question and I don't know the answer to it, but they give me enough time to sit with it, I come up with all sorts of answers. So I'm going to give you some time to sit with this. Come back to it, you know? And so you're going to do that with each three triggers, each three things, whatever it is that just shuts you down and you want to avoid conflict, you want to avoid communication, you want to avoid this person, you want to avoid that relationship. What are those things? Okay. And then you're going to say actually what you do, which is withdraw, ignore, distract, numb out, dismiss, deny, justify, explain, and appease. And then also, what do you gain by these things? What are you getting from doing those things, whatever it may be? And then what are you missing out? And then what is a constructive, a better response to this trigger? So you're going to do that for all three of those things. And I promise you, you're going to learn more and more about who you are, why you do that, and especially if you tend to avoid in relationships. I think that this is a really, really great one. If you've ever watched, so I'm a big Gilmore Girl fan, like huge Gilmore Girl fan. If you ever watch the relationship between Lorelai and Luke, you can understand that Lorelai is a lot more anxious attachment, okay? And so she has to work through things. And she can. She can do a great job at it. Luke, and she might be a little bit more secure maybe than Luke. But Luke, hands down, is an avoidant attachment style all the way. So if you ever want to watch an example of what that actually looks like, and avoidant will look different from person to person, but he definitely has more of an avoidant personality trait. And that's why it's interesting when at one point in the episodes, and I'm not going to give too much away, but he starts thinking, maybe I do need to ask Lorelai out, and they were friends for a long time, blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't give too much away. Okay. We know that at some point they get together. Anyways, the reason why he had the kind of like the confidence to go ask Lorelai out was because he was taking a self-help course on relationships, and he realized he wasn't actually communicating with her and was avoiding the whole thing. So he was never communicating and completely avoided asking her out. And it was through this self-help book that he actually decided, okay, I'm going to be able to communicate my feelings in an honest and real way, and I'm going to not be afraid of what happens, and I'm just going to do it. Anyways, I just thought that that was a good, like, semi-real way to describe what a avoidant attachment style can look like in a TV character. You know what? Listen, if you think that TV characters can't explain mental health things, a lot of writers actually have their undergrad in psychology in order to be able to really write real characters. And so that's why I really love TV, because I know that a lot of these characters can be based on real character traits and personalities, which I absolutely love. I love the concepts, and I love there's a lot of family of origin stuff in especially in Gilmore Girls. So anyways, there you go. That's my little TV synopsis. And I've had such a fun time hanging out with you today. I hope that you learned something, that you gained something. I hope that you were convicted about your fashion choices and what you promote and what you wear. I take that super seriously, and it's a huge reason because I don't want history to repeat itself, okay? I really think that the garment industry needs to change in a lot of ways, and one of those things is fast fashion, and our clothing should never be this cheap. I've been saying that since forever, and I will keep saying that. And I hope that things do change, or the companies decide to treat their people better, their garment makers way better, because they deserve it. Making clothes from scratch is such a beautiful thing. And I think that we should respect that industry and those who create it. And it can turn into a almost like a slavery type deal, not to the max of how the cotton industry was. And that's what we learned today. So thank you for being here. And I hope that you feel like you got all the things. You are totally covered. We talked about jackets of praise covering us with peace, and the cotton industry, Marie Antoinette, and the origin of the white tea, along with avoidant attachment personalities, and how to do better with identifying why you're avoidant and how to make some changes there. God's got you, and you are covered. See you in the next episode.